The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boost.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talk the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons to watch the game because you're going to see what I believe is maybe Nick Saban's most complete team. I don't know if it's, is this his best team ever. I don't know. That's hard to evaluate, but I think this might be the best offense and defense he's had at the same time.
I think A to Z roster-wise, there's just no holes in this thing.
No.
You know, I think there's been some other teams that have had some scarier, you know, players. But I think A to Z, this one doesn't have many holes in it.
And I someone was talking with someone earlier this week about we were talking about the 11 a.m. start, and we were talking about a couple weeks ago before they named the start time for this game. I didn't think it'd be 11 because you're not going to put the number one team in the country at 11 a.m. twice. He said they blow everybody out, so no TV network wants them on because no one watches the second half of their games. I didn't think about that, you know. So they're waiting on them to get into some games. Maybe Arkansas is a game they can at least get into the second half. On paper, you'd say no, but you know that's one of the reasons they're having to play some of these 11 a.m. games. They're beating everybody so badly, nobody's watching their games in the second half.
You welcomed me in the studio this week. You know, today. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to be in the game this weekend, and I'm like, well, yeah, guys, I'm here because it's Alabama week.
Mm-hmm.
But Alabama week has turned in. For everybody, to everybody in our conference, as it used to be, you know, the game you get up for. Mm-hmm. Now it's the game you're just cringing for.
Mm-hmm. Particularly this year.
I mean, that's what Alabama has done. I mean, and they've beat everybody in years past. It's not they hadn't beaten everybody. We get it. Now they just blow everybody out.
Well, I think they beat you psychologically before they even get to town. I mean. I know everybody talks in cliches and says all the right things, and Chad Morris on Wednesday night says the right things in his coaches' shows and the press conferences and blah, 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 yada. And this is every coach across the league. How many teams really believe late at night, private moment, get on the bus, go to the team hotel, we're getting ready to go out there and kick their tails. We're going to go out there and you got 70 guys in a team meeting room, and 10 coaches and a head coach that all 80 plus of them, they're locking arms and believe it. You know, I think they psychologically whip people before they even show up.
Even in our best year, in the 5 years I was at Arkansas, our best year, which was the 2010, because it was at home, our best shot to get them, I think we felt like that was as confident as we've ever played them. In, you know, last 15-year stretch. But
Going into the game.
But that was, I think there was still doubt in that team's mind. I really do.
Even after Wingo scored?
Not after Wingo scored. But, you know, going into the game, I think we were like, I think we're good enough to beat them. But are we good enough to beat
them? Yeah, there you go. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Psychologically, they're 11-1, 10-2. Yeah. Maybe LSU... Maybe Auburn, if they don't play Georgia in the regular season this year. I mean, who else on their schedule really thinks that we're going to go toe-to-toe and whip their butt?
Mm-hmm. Whatever team they play in the SEC championship game, maybe.
But that's Georgia.
I mean, yeah, but you would probably be Georgia.
It might be Kentucky this year. I mean, most teams go in kind of peeing down one leg a little bit.
You know, I don't know. I think the offensive mentality from this team, and maybe even the last two or three, since probably A.J. McCarron, I think you've seen a difference in Alabama offensively that is much more intimidating from people. Now the blowout exists. Mm-hmm. Before A.J. McCarron, it was ball control. They weren't going to score enough points to beat you by that many points. I mean, they were going to beat you. And it was physically they were going to impose their will on you, but they weren't going to beat you by more than 20 points. Now it's you know, they're physically going to be dominant defensively. They're still going to run the football at will. And they've added the pass element, the hurry-up element. And now it's we'll beat you by 100.
So how do you coach around? Because I don't think there's any way to go in and beat a team like Alabama unless you believe, number one. Because the first time something goes against you, it's over. It all unravels. And so how do you coach that up? How would Chad Morris even begin? How would you even begin to sell your team on the idea you're going to win this game?
You don't.
So it's just lip service when you're talking to your friends.
I don't think. I mean, and I haven't listened to every clip that Chad's, you know, come on and tried to convince anybody that we're going to win this week. I think the objective of your team to not sound like a
defeated already.
No. I mean, it's your message to your team is, guys, we got a heck of a lot better last week against an opponent that's played. Mm-hmm. Played really good football and is also, I think, a program that people respect in the landscape of college football. We should have beat them in Dallas in an unbelievable environment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're coming off that. And I think what you preach is progression. We got to continue to get better and worry about us. Who gives a dang about Alabama? Nobody expects us to win. What are the odds right now? John,
I mean, if you're looking at the spread, it's a 36-point spread.
Yeah, and you can
the money line. What'd you 20,000?
Yeah. So we could throw down $100 and potentially win $20,000.
Let's do it.
That's what people think about Arkansas right now.
Let's do it.
So don't, you know, Chad Morris isn't preaching anybody.
Yeah, if you look at that other one, Tom, and sorry, that's a little app that I have on my phone. You can see the money lines for all the teams going on in the SEC game. That's one of them. And if I'm having you read it because I want to make sure I'm getting it right, is that a 50,000? Money line?
Alabama minus 50,000.
I mean,
Arkansas plus 4,000 at Bet365.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. Anyways, the point is, though, is that
don't
it's not
likely.
Don't
put your money on something you don't know what you're reading.
No, that's why I wanted you to read
rule
it.
Rule number one.
I was like, I don't think I understand this. But that was the thing, Tyler, and that's what one of the things I wanted to bring up today is just, you know, mentally going into that game. It's you don't even worry about Alabama. It's just about worrying about what you can do and about what you're doing. You don't even, I mean, obviously you got to do some scout team and some film and some all of that, but you don't go into it as far as you're going to beat this team. You're going saying, hey, let's worry about us and what we're doing.
Let's worry about every down that we got. And if we happen to be, you know, in the ballgame in the fourth quarter, then you worry about beating Alabama.
Is Ty Story getting through this game healthy maybe the most important thing about this game?
Probably.
Because you got six games left, and I think three or four of them are very winnable games, and depend on how things really start shaping up at Mississippi State, maybe five of them are winnable.
If you could say, and I'm just looking down the last four or five games that Alabama's played, if you could take the Alabama score, the Texas A&M score, which was like 24 to, what was it, 45 or something like that.
I think 45-24, yeah.
Yeah. If you could take the 24 points that A&M scored against them, and you get Ty Story out of this game healthy, I'd tell you right now.
Yeah. I just think him being healthy for the final half of the season gives you the best chance to win three or four games down the stretch.
Totally.
If he gets hurt, it changes everything.
Totally.
Now you're back to square one. You're starting over. Your offense is finally starting to get some momentum. And this isn't a Ty Story versus Cole Kelly versus Connor Nolan thing. This is you've spent 3 weeks now getting your offense to where it's at. Now you're hitting the reset button if he gets hurt thing.
Yeah. And you're playing you finally feel like you're making some momentum. And then you go back and you play the, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda game for the first three games of the season. You go, if we had just made this decision, and I was sitting here barking about it to all my buddies, why in the world? If you had done that, you're probably looking at a totally different landscape of where this team's at right now. But you've had some momentum since Ty's come in, you know, in the last couple games, and hopefully you get through tonight and you continue that momentum, hopefully.
Well, if Arkansas scores into the 20s offensively, I mean, I feel like that's such a great –
it's their best
accomplishment.
How many teams have done that, though, this year on Alabama? I don't have the note. I got to go dig that out of my
Louisiana backpack. Lafayette scored 14 points last week.
Yeah.
They scored 14. Of course, Texas A&M
scored. After being 49 to nothing.
Right. Texas A&M scored 23.
Right.
Louisville scored 14. Arkansas State scored 7. And Ole Miss scored 7. So it's only happened once, and A&M got 23 points.
Yeah.
So the likelihood's not very strong. But, if I mean, if you do that, and here's the other thing, too. If you even look at it defensively for Arkansas, Alabama, their lowest point total was 45 points against A&M. So if you hold them to under 45 points,
You've accomplished something there, too.
So it's just the likelihood in the way that it is and the way that it's set up is so long, so strong.
Staking out an early claim for a moral victory right here on the Morning Rush. So
hey, in a year like this, isn't it all about moral victories?
Listen, it's exactly what we've talked about this, and Tyler sums it up perfectly. It's about worrying about you this week and figuring out things you've improved on, even against Alabama. We've talked on this topic throughout the week. You're going to lose the game. I don't think any of the however many 60-something thousand fans that show up tomorrow really believe walking in the stadium you're going to win the game unless they're Alabama fans.
And I think you lose, and this sounds horrible, and but it is what it is. I think you lose credibility in the locker room slightly if you go in and you're preaching the Cinderella man. You know, you can preach the David and Goliath, and you got to have one of those stories. But I think, you know, if all week we're going, we can beat these. I think you've got to preach. What can we get better on this week,
Coach? Crazy.
Now, don't just go. Don't just go in and go, we're going to lay down and get our butt beat this week. No. That's not it either. But it's.
Improvement.
We got to work on us.
Yeah, and I think that's you summed it up well. And I think that's probably what the message has been individually from position coaches to their units, and Chad Morris to his coaches is, you know, I don't say this week is a write off. It's another opportunity to get better, but it's a write off as far as if you're counting on, hey, maybe we can still get to a bowl game if we can win this week. Not this week.
You're going to go out there, you're going to bust some heads, you're going to be competitive as heck. That better be the message.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, whatever happens, happens. Yeah. But you're going to compete your tail off.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
In the previous segment, we were talking just about Alabama and the series that Arkansas has had against them and how they've had, even though it doesn't seem like it's, if you just looked at recent memory, but it seems like that these two teams have had some really great games, some really epic games. And it was always played earlier in the year, too. They never played Alabama late in November or anything like that. And, of course, Alabama's owned the series, but there's just not that bitterness. There's not that angst towards the Crimson Tide. And there is for a lot of other teams. And Tyler, you were bringing up during the break of some of the series records against some of these other SEC West teams. And Arkansas does have a winning record against Ole Miss and Mississippi State and even Texas A&M if you take back to the Southwest Conference days.
And not even West teams. You go to the East side, you're beating, you've got a series, you know, positive record against Vandy. And you've got and the other one's Kentucky, which is really interesting. You don't have a winning record against Kentucky. That was surprising to me. But South Carolina also, you got a winning record against.
And the last few years have put you below par or underwater, if you will, with Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to win the next three to get back above water with Missouri.
And it's really, I mean, if you look at the SEC as a whole, you're pretty much, when you look at your win-loss record as a whole, you own the series against about half the league. And then, you know, there's the others that are somewhat the more keynote names that you haven't had a lot of success against. But that was surprising to me that you've got a winning record against majority of the teams, you know, that's not a majority. I would say 60%+ of the teams that you're playing, you've got the overall series lead against.
Yeah, so historically you're right there. And what is more frustrating, though, the fact that if you want to bring up, is it because you have a losing record against Missouri in the series since they joined the SEC, or is it the fact that you've lost to Texas A&M so much since they joined the SEC? Because the two additions you have not been good against since they've joined. And now A&M, I know you played them every year. You've had really close games, but they've always got the best of you. But Missouri, you feel like, you feel like they're the inferior program and the inferior team every single year.
It's more frustrating with Missouri because at least you can reason as to why you've lost to A&M.
They've had some pretty good teams.
They've had good teams. They've had
great
Johnny
players.
Manziel. Yeah. I mean, start with that right there would be one reason. It's hard to reason why you've been losing to Missouri the way you've lost to Missouri.
Yeah. Of course,
you go travel up there, cold game.
It's end of the year. Not a lot on the line many times. But still, those are the games you got to win. Those are the games that if Bielema had won a couple of those, he may still be your head coach.
But Missouri's been so sneaky. I mean, they had some really good years under Pinkel. I mean, their first year in the conference, they go to the SEC championship, right?
Yeah, it was their second and third year they went to the SEC championship, yeah.
But sneaky good, and no one even talked about them. Like, you're like, oh yeah, Missouri went to the SEC championship game?
Twice.
And it's just one of those, it's like they're so far north, they hadn't been to the conference, so no one's talked about them. But, I mean, even this year, they're sneaky good. They're offensively, they're going to be, you know, the Locke kids as good as I think
Drew Locke,
as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah, no, he's been really good. And if you just even look back to Missouri, that the one that was the worst, of course, was in 2016, where they were a 4-7 team, only had one conference win. You go to their place, and you had just come off of a great stretch where you had beaten Florida, you had beaten Mississippi State, you were one win away from ended up going with 8 wins, going 8-4. And then you blow that lead to Missouri, which then you blew the lead to Virginia Tech in the bowl game later, and that was ultimately the demise of Brett Bielema and coming to the end of the era. And, of course, the Eric Bieziel kid that was coming out and basically guaranteeing a win against you, which made it even worse because you lost again. So, yeah, it's just like those are the types of things that just frustrate you as a Razorback fan when, you know, you lose to a program pretty regularly that's on the same level. It's frustrating, but it's not as bad. You lose to Alabama every single year. There's no shame in that because most people lose to Alabama, but losing to a program like Missouri and losing to them, I guess, what was it, 2-4 against them in your history? I know they've only joined the conference a few years ago, but you've only won once since they joined the SEC, and that was in Gary Pinkel's last game where it was all just so bad, and I think they all mailed it in. I mean, that's kind of frustrating, kind of embarrassing,
beat there,
too.
And then the only other time you beat him, I guess, was down at the Independence Bowl.
That's right, in 2004, I believe it was.
It'll be kind of interesting. You know, I've been aware of this, but it wasn't until recently I got a text message from my old guy, Garrick McGee, right, quarterback coach during our time, who's bounced around since, left, went to UAB, and then to Louisville, and then joined Lovey Smith up in Illinois. He's now at Missouri and dealing with the quarterbacks in Missouri. He's got a local kid, got a Fayetteville High School kid in there, Taylor Powell.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the quarterback room. So, I mean, you look at there's a lot of connections in football, but, I mean, Missouri, you know, they've got some Arkansas kids. I think they've got several Arkansas kids on their roster. But, you know, that's another – I know it's down the stretch here, but – and we're talking about series record, not necessarily – but – I think that's interesting that, you know, that's a game late in the year, which Arkansas should be competitive against. There'll be some Arkansas kids in that game.
And I think it's a key game that Chad Morris really needs to win because it's the last impression you're going to leave your fan base, because it doesn't appear there will be a bowl game for you to leave another final impression.
No.
So that will be the lasting memory fans will have other than your signing class on December 19th, which might be maybe the most important thing he does this year.
Yeah, and Missouri, I mean, they haven't really set the world on fire this year. They've only played 4 games, or 3-1, lost to Georgia pretty handily. But then, I mean, everybody loses to Georgia, so we'll see how it plays out for them. But yeah, it's just the series.
That's the thing with Missouri. They're 3-1, and they're going to really set the whole world on. I mean, what do you expect? I mean, it's Missouri, and they'll win 6 or 7 ball games, 8 ball games.
They'll be in a bowl.
They'll be a bowl team. Yeah, especially with Drew Locke, like you said. I mean, he may be one of the more underrated quarterbacks in the conference.
Drew Locke's the reason why they will be in a bowl game, because they have good quarterback play. You look at the teams that are 3-1, the teams that have, you know, respectable records at this point, quarterback play is the reason why.
Yeah. If you've got a quarterback, you've got something. With the way this game is, the way it exists now in football, you've got to score points.
You can have a good team and no quarterback, and you're not going anywhere. Well, I mean, you've got to have a quarterback to run the thing.
And I probably got some – I made some comments about, you know, this system and its complexity. It's not complex in terms of, you know, I always throw out, you know, these elaborate play calls of NFL systems like the West Coast and what John Gruden's run. you know, it's not complex like that, but it's complex in terms of it's like the triple option. You're having to read things after the ball snap. There's time and it takes to learn that. I think with you go back to you pick your teams this year, and the ones that will have winning records will have legitimate quarterback play. Missouri's one of them. Alabama this week, you will see Tua be one of the best quarterbacks in the country. In next year's draft, he will be probably the first quarterback taken, would be my guess. But you could hide. Go back to the Nutt days, right? Robert Johnson,
mm-hmm.
I think Nutt like coined it. He was the best quarterback at the time to hand the ball off 7 yards deep in the backfield. You could hide a quarterback in those old systems, mm-hmm. and you had a really good running back and a really good offensive line and a decent defense, and you could win the Colorado State games. You can win the North Texas games. You can, and you find a way to get to a bowl game doing it that way. It's not fun watching it. It's not sexy, but you could hide the quarterback in this system. Guys, you can't hide it.
If this team had an above-average offensive line, not a great, just above-average offensive line, with these running backs, you don't have to have Darren McFadden. Just, I think these running backs with a better offensive line,
they're good enough.
They're good enough to get you first downs on third and two, third and four.
Right.
And that's where you're at right now, is you really don't have enough of the pieces to connect the dots to get the first, to convert on third down enough times, yeah, against the better defenses in this league. So that just puts more pressure on the quarterback to make plays.
Yeah. And that's my point. There have been years where Arkansas has gone through transition with quarterback play and not had the guy, not the what you call the quote-unquote magic man, don't have the guy. But they had other pieces in place that serviceably got them, you know, six or seven wins.
Mm.
And that Robert Johnson year, that transition, I think early in Matt Jones' career, you could make the argument that, you know, he wasn't prepared to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game, but he could adequately hold it, you know, hand it off and had some value with the legs, but obviously not the case with this system.
I feel like it was probably the same way in the early Nick Saban years at Alabama, even, where, you know, they had some, it's not to say that their quarterbacks were bad or anything, but they were so reliant on Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson and Bo Lacy, those guys with great defense and a great offensive line, that, you know, during that time of college football, they were so good at it that they could still find ways to win championships. But as time went on, and I think Nick Saban, it shows how great he is, he made the adjustment because, you know, the college football changed.
He made the adjustment because he was having such a hard time defending against some of these offenses. He said, well, if I'm having a hard time, why aren't we doing this offensively? I think ultimately is why they did that.
Yeah, and that's why they have Tua. That's why they have Tua and Jalen Hurts on their team right now.
Yeah.
I mean, just how good they've been.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
And just to give everybody an update on the current standings here in the Fence Man Picks, I am leading the way with 11. Tommy Kraft has 8. Tyler Wilson has 7. And the Fence Man, you have 6. So you guys are pretty close there in second place.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Fence Man Friday Football Picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, the first game we're going to get to is in the SEC. It's a game that's on paper. You would feel like it would be a much bigger line, but not the case. LSU and Florida. This weekend, games being played in Gainesville. LSU is only a 1-point favorite. So, Fence Man, we'll start with you. What do you got?
I think that's crazy. LSU is going to roll them.
This one seems like candy, doesn't it?
It does, but the thing is it's actually started
What are we missing?
It started as a 3-point favorite for LSU, and it's actually moved to a 1-point.
So, what are we missing?
That's what I'm wondering.
This is in the swamp.
This is in the swamp. In Gainesville.
I'm taking LSU, baby.
Make it 3. Table for 3.
Make it 4, I guess.
Right, table for 4.
So no one's going to gain any ground on this one, but that's fine. But I saw that pick, and I was like, that is just incredible.
What are we missing?
I honestly don't know. Maybe they think that, you know, have Eddie O going up against Dan Mullen, former Ole Miss and former Mississippi State coach.
They're giving the swamp a lot of credit to what they're doing.
Yeah.
But the swamp worth 15 this week? What's up?
They couldn't score against Mississippi State. Florida couldn't.
I feel like that's a free one. Okay, so the other one in the SEC, I think this one will be a more fascinating one, Kentucky and Texas A&M. Now, Kentucky is undefeated. They're 13th in the country. They've won some good games, but this is going to be their first true road test.
Kentucky football's 13 in the country, or Kentucky basketball's 13?
That is Kentucky football. Who would have guessed that?
When Kentucky football's 13th in the country, it's noteworthy.
Yes.
When Kentucky basketball's 13th in the country, they're going to fire the coach.
Yeah, it's a bad year. It's a bad year for John Calipari. So they're traveling to Texas A&M. So this is a big road test for them. Texas A&M has played pretty well, but Kentucky is actually not favored in this one. A&M is favored 5.5 points. Vince Mann, who do you got in this one?
I'm going to take Kentucky for the upset.
Oh, Kentucky.
Okay. You think they win straight up? You think Kentucky's for real?
Kentucky's going to win it.
Ooh, okay. Tommy?
Well, I'm torn on this one because I think Kentucky's a really good football team, but are they that good?
Well, here's the deal. Obviously, after watching what we watched last weekend, A&M's beatable by a very below average football team. But you go to Kyle Field. You saw Clemson barely got it done at Kyle Field, right?
Yeah.
I got A&M this weekend.
I'm with you. A&M, I'll give the points. I think Kentucky hasn't seen anything like this yet.
I got some points to work with, so I'm going to go the other side. I'm going to go Kentucky. Right. I
would do that if I was you.
Yeah, I mean, I think
what's the spread? Is there a spread or is it straight up?
5.5.
5.5.
5.5.
A&M's favored.
But we're giving away 5.5.
Yeah. It's a tough one.
I'm going A&M minus 5.5.
Okay.
Sticking with it.
Sticking with it?
Okay. I like it too.
All right.
Final answer.
So, all right. So me and Fence Man got Kentucky in this one.
All right.
You two got Texas A&M. So that's going to be a good one. All right. The next game going outside the conference. Big rivalry game going on this weekend at the Cotton Bowl. Texas and OU, the Red River rivalry.
This is always a game.
It's tough.
Where people that are not from where Tyler Wilson and I have grown up don't understand how a Razorback fan could ever root for Texas. This is the one week and the only week of the year where you would actually consider rooting for Texas if you're from Western Arkansas.
Yeah, you hope.
Am I right about that, Tyler?
I get you.
If you're from Little Rock, you don't get it. From anywhere other than this Arkansas-Oklahoma border where I've grown up, you don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like Cliff Kingsbury, though.
Yeah?
I know that's not what everybody wants.
What?
I'm sorry. I went Texas Tech.
I understand.
I was going old Texas Tech. No, Stoops, I get it, but I think a little bit different now.
Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's where the connection goes to Cliff Kingsbury. They were at Texas Tech together.
That's right.
Both Texas Tech.
Hair gel sinking in.
So there you go. Okay, so Oklahoma favored by 7.5 points in this game. It's a good line. Vince Mann, who are you going with?
It's tough, man. It's a home game for both teams. So I think I'm going to go OU.
You're going to go OU. Okay, OU. So OU to win by over 7.5. All right, Tommy.
Hook 'em horns.
Ooh.
Hook 'em horns.
Oh, you said that with confidence.
Hook 'em horns.
Didn't even think about it. Tyler?
I'm going to go against old Kraft here. He thinks I'm not an OU guy, but I like Kyler Murray at OU in this football game.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to bet against Oklahoma. The only thing is, though, is it just seems like it's random when Texas beats Oklahoma. Like, Texas has no business winning these games, but somehow they find a way. I'm going with Tommy. I'm going to say Texas. So you two got Oklahoma over here. Me and Tommy got Texas. So we got some good splits going on here. We're going to have some fun with that. All right, and then, of course, we have to do our bonus point. And I feel like this has kind of been I don't want to say a running joke, but it's been something that we've been doing consistently, and we've gotten really close with it. The point differential for Arkansas and Alabama this weekend. Now, keep in mind, this is a 35-point spread, according to Vegas. So just put that into consideration. Fence Man, what is the point differential between Arkansas and Alabama this weekend?
Well, I'm going to go up there. Me and the Miss Fence are going to go up there and watch the game tomorrow.
Miss Fence.
We're going to hope we see the greatest upset in Razorback or in football history. I heard y'all talking about it yesterday.
Yeah.
It may be sports history, but I'm going to say 26.
Okay, 26 points. Solid.
So Arkansas is going to beat them 26? Is that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, in fantasy land.
So 26, huh?
So, I mean, he's got the low end. I'm gonna
or
go.
Does he?
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go. It's somewhere between 28 and 35 to me, but I let's go 32 points.
32 points. Okay, Tommy.
I'm going to go 36 points. I'm going to go right at the line. Yeah.
Okay. Whew. This is a tough one. I'm going to go under all of y'all. Give me 20 points.
20. Ooh. All right.
20 points.
I take that back. Now knowing where you're at, I'll go 28.
20.
So you got 20. Vince Mann's got
26.
26. I'll go 28.
Tommy's going 36.
I'll be on the high end.
Yeah. He'll be on the high end. So basically, if they score over 30, Tommy's...
Can I change mine to 50?
Hey, we still got time. The music's still rolling.
There's some strategy going 50. On here.
What happened to you're going to go see the greatest upset? You and Miss Pitt's going to see the greatest upset in history.
This is like the Price is
Right.
Hey,
I'm trying to get points.
That's right.
I'm behind.
Yeah, okay. Well, I understand. I'm trying to make up ground.
Yeah. Hey, I understand, too. I understand.
No, did you hear me pick Texas earlier? I'm behind. I'm trying to make up ground.
No. So sticking with 26?
26.
26 points. Okay, so just to recap, LSU, Florida, we're all picking LSU in that game. So that's a clear one. Texas and Oklahoma. Me and Tommy have Texas. Tyler and the Fence Man have Oklahoma. Kentucky and Texas A&M. Me and the Fence Man have Kentucky in this one. Tommy and Tyler have Texas A&M. And the point differential for all of us, I have 20. Fence Man has 26. Tyler has 28. Tommy, you have 36.
Yep.
Sounds good? Lock them in?
Lock it in.
All right. There
final
you have
answer.
It. So, yeah. It's going to be a fun one. I can't wait to full way even further. You guys got some ground to catch up.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.